tomorrow we celebrate Memorial Day, and there'll be a lot of cookouts and trips. And each year, the final Monday of May is designated in the United States to celebrate the federal holiday, Memorial Day. Originally known as Decoration Day, to honor the Civil War dead on both sides. By the 1900s, it had come to represent all of the fallen American soldiers in all the wars and conflicts. 1967, it was named legally named Memorial Day and became a federal holiday in 1971. There are some facts about it. Just in the Civil War alone, over 620,000 soldiers died in 4 years. That's more than combined World War I and World War II casualties for American soldiers. It's just amazing to try and wrap your mind around that, the number of people. Congress passed a law in 2000 that requires all Americans to stop what they're doing at 3 p.m. on Memorial Day and pause and remember the sacrifice that so many people made. 32 million people are going to travel by car over this weekend. March begins the summer vacation. Sometimes there's some confusion with Memorial Day and Veterans Day. Veterans Day honors all U.S. military veterans, while Memorial Day honors the soldiers who died while serving. Arlington Cemetery, there's over 300,000 fallen soldiers there, 28 being buried every day. Our war memorials are ways for us to remember the sacrifices of ordinary men and women who gave their lives defending this country for safety and freedom of others that they may not have ever seen. Battlefields around Chancellorsville, Gettysburg. Battle at Antietam, there was a creek that ran through it and it turned red with blood before the battle ended. Trenches, France and Belgium, where it looked like it was from another planet. No grass, no trees, mud and blood, and a literal stench of death. Beaches of Normandy, the Ardennes Wood, where young boys that left the farm never came back. Hills that had every tree blown off of them, that were recognized by a number in Korea, alternating between sweltering heat and freezing cold. Frostbite and fungus. Young boys pulled from cotton mills, farms, colleges, jungles in Vietnam, for an enemy that was rarely seen but so often felt, to the deserts of today, Iraq and Afghanistan, and just a never-ceasing assault. We honor those people tomorrow, those people that never came home, that died for people, a lot of whom they've never met. I think God hardwired us with the ability to recognize and remember the sacrifices of others. I think that's one of the ways he made us. And I prayed about what the Holy Spirit wanted me to speak to you about this week. Remembering what holiday is tomorrow and remembering and sacrificing kept coming to me. Memorials are built by men, but often they're inspired by God. In God's Word, there are examples of God commanding the people to build altars to remember events. The scripture we're going to look at came from Joshua chapter 4, and I think there's a lot of significance in the scripture about the way God uses memorials. And set this up. This was after the Israelites had left Egypt. They had been wandering in the desert for over 40 years. It was a 300-mile trip from Egypt to Canaan, the promised land. It should have taken a matter of months. But because the people had broke their covenant with God, they were delayed until every member of a generation had died out. Moses himself gave the people final instructions, looked at the promised land, and he died because he was not allowed to enter it. Before he died, a new leader was chosen, Joshua. The nations had all just finished crossing the Jordan, all the 12 tribes of Israel, And God told Joshua, have one person from each tribe, one man, and wants you to take 12 stones from the floor of the Jordan River. And I want you to carry those across. Israel, it's amazing how God stuck with them through all this. Because he had every reason to throw his hands up. But he didn't. And so Joshua did, like the Lord said, called him, told him to cross back over with the ark, with the priest. The Jordan River cleared. It divided, just like the Red Sea. And each one of you pick up a stone on his shoulder. And if you think about it, our military kind of spans across all these different tribes too. In Israel, the 12 tribes were descendants of the 12 sons of Jacob. You had warriors, you had farmers, you had priests. Just kind of like the makeup of our society today. You had some that were more thinkers. You had some that worked more with their hands. You had some that did both. The people that died that we're celebrating, they came from all parts of the country. Some of them didn't have two dimes to rub together. Some of them came from old money. Our memorials for our fallen often reflect the different stones that make up our own country. When the tribes of Israel came together, it was something special. When all those people got on the same page and their heart and minds were right with God, nothing could stop them. And you think about it, when our country comes together and we're all on the same page, it's something amazing. And Joshua told them, let this be a sign among you so that when your people, when your children ask later, what do these stones mean to you? You can tell them that the waters of the Jordan split. God worked. He delivered us from this wilderness to the place we were supposed to be. It's remembrance of it. Because I think God remembers. God knows that we forget about what he's done for us sometimes. In Deuteronomy, Moses issued a final warning in Deuteronomy 6:12, right before they entered the promised land. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Sometimes I think in our country, there are people that forget what God's done for us and that this is a nation under God. Our memorials are a reminder of where we come from and what we're supposed to be. Joshua did something else. He then took, while the ark was in the middle of the Jordan, he took 12 stones from it and made an altar right there at the feet of the priest that were carrying it. It's there to this day. The Jordan's very symbolic and very important to the Israelites. In the Bible, it's mentioned over 185 times. It was their lifeline. They dug canals from it. They irrigated with it. And why would Joshua build a memorial that no one would ever see? It would be seen if there was a terrible drought. If the river lowered to that point, it would be seen. And what would be going on in this drought? A terrible famine. Because without the Jordan River to irrigate it, they couldn't grow crops there. They didn't have the rainfall for it. Joshua knew that people at some point in time would need a reminder of what God did and does for them when times are bad. A reminder that God's here whenever things seem so bad. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 12:9, but his answer was, my grace is all you need, for my power is greatest when you are weak. I am most happy then to be proud of my weaknesses, to feel the protection of Christ's power over me. And the priests who carried the ark, they were standing in the middle of the Jordan till everything was done. They cross over. And some people think that Christians aren't supposed to fight or defend themselves in memorials. But God has something. God had something else in mind. Nehemiah 4:17 through 18. Who were building on the wall, those who carried burdens were loaded in a way that each labored on the work with one hand and held his weapon in the other. And each of the builders had his sword strapped to his side while he built. The man who sounded the trumpet was beside me. This was when they were rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem. They had people that were threatening it. They had people that were threatening the ways of life of the Israelites. Moses in Numbers told the people to arm men among you for war, that they may go against Midian to execute the Lord's vengeance on Midian. Even Jesus said in Luke 22:36, he said to them, "Now let the one who has a money bag take it, and likewise a knapsack, and let the one who has no sword sell his cloak and buy one." Sometimes soldiers feel conflicted with a Christian faith and having to do what they do. Even Jesus recognized the need that Christians need to defend themselves. The first time he set all his disciples out, he set them out with nothing. No cloak, no staff. This verse came the second time he set them out. He knew they'd be persecuted. He knew they would have a need to defend themselves. And these people, these soldiers, these men and women, they have gotten up. They have defended themselves and others. And on the day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel so that they revered him just as they revered Moses all the days of his life. And Joshua was the handpicked successor to Moses, ordinary man that God used to do extraordinary things with. You think about how many men and women through our history, ordinary people, that God has used to do extraordinary things to save people. I know we think about Memorial Day as war, but a lot of our soldiers, when they passed away, they might have as easily been on a convoy to deliver medical supplies, to deliver food, to help villagers, people that they did not know. The American soldier is unique in that they're more than just a soldier. So many times there are things that are done, hospitals that literally pop up out of nowhere. The U.S. military employs veterinarians for more than their dogs. When they go out on a medical mission, they have veterinarians to help some of the village animals because they know an ox or a horse or a mule, it might be the lifeline for these villages. They go out, they do that. That's what they do. And Jesus made it very plain in Matthew 25:40 how he feels about that. The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me." And now the Lord told Joshua to come over. And the priests that came over, they carried the ark. And the people came up on the other side. Their feet were dry. And that's a parallel to when they crossed the Red Sea. Exodus 14:22, "And the children of Israel went to the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left, dry as a bone. And now the people who came up from the Jordan on the 10th of the first month and camped at Gilgal on the eastern edge of Jericho." Jericho was a very important city, very big, very powerful, very heavily defended. These people were pagans. They knew God's people were coming. They were getting ready for them. And I imagine the Israelites were a little afraid. New land with a powerful foe. And it made me think about how American forces have faced so many people in so many nations and groups that were hostile to what we stand for. Germans, Japanese, Korean communists, Vietnamese communists, all of which were atheists or believed in someone else. Muslim groups, all over the world that want to eradicate us off the face of the earth. And part of that is because of the God we worship. I think there's a parallel there to how these Israelites felt and how our young men and women feel to be in a strange place. And the 12 stones that were taken from the Jordan River, they were set up at Gilgal, and they were as a memorial. They were as a memorial to what God did for them in putting them there, delivering them from tribe after tribe, delivering them from Egypt, from bondage, from what they would have been if not for the hand of God. I think also those memorials, that memorial with each tribe being represented, was also a memorial to the people that died along the way. The Israelites didn't get across that wilderness without trouble. Midianites, Amalekites, so many tribes that attacked them, and God was with them. But when there's war, there's loss. And I think that memorial also stood for that as well. I think also it's very significant to look. 12 stones as a memorial when things were going great. The Israelites had come across the promise. Had come across, they were at the edge of the promised land. God had prepared them. They were ready to take it. Same 12 stones at the bottom of the Jordan River. And the only time they would see that would be as things were terrible, in a drought, in a famine. Identical memorials, because God does not change. God is with us, and he's the same way if we're on top of the world or we're in the middle of a mess. He's there. He's a present help in a time of trouble. And even Jesus believed in memorials. In Luke 22, Jesus showed how he was the ultimate sacrifice, and I think ultimate memorial. When he had finished the Last Supper, and when he had taken the cup and given thanks, he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now until the kingdom of God comes." And when he had taken bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Now, as we close and we get ready to go to prayer and then go to song, and our altars open up, anyone that wants to come up here has something laid on their heart to pray about, these altars are open. Pray in your chair. Main thing, just pray. It doesn't have to be fancy, but if something's laid on your heart, God's there, and he's listening. I want us to lift up all the families that have lost sons and daughters and husbands and wives. I'm sure we all know someone that has lost someone in combat. These people gave their lives for complete strangers, for their families. Let's pray for all those who are grieving for their loss, for peace and for healing in their hearts. Because those people have done something that Jesus said in John 15:13, "Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends." And these are people that laid down their lives for people that a lot of them they never even met. So I'm going to ask that y'all stand, and we're going to pray, and then we'll start the songs, and the altars will be open. Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer. Father, we lift up all the families in this country that tomorrow's not going to be a day of celebration. It's going to be a day of memory, painful memory, and grief, and loss. Father, we ask you pour your grace, your mercy, and your healing upon them. Father, please put your peace in their hearts. We know they're hurting. Grief is a sign of love. Deeper the grief, deeper the love. Father, we just ask that you be with them. And Father, please help them find mercy. Put your mercy upon them. Father, as we deal, as there are veterans out there, Father, a lot of them may be dealing with guilt. Why did I make it home when my friends did not? Father, we lift them up to you as well. Father, they fight a struggle that most of us are not familiar with. In war and loss, so many people are affected. Father, we lift them up, whether they're at a Wounded Warrior Project, whether they're in a VA hospital, somewhere. But Father, and the families are going to these cemeteries to see these flags. And these flags mean something totally different to them. They mean the loss of what was and what could have been. Father, we lift that up to them. We lift them up to you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.